Russia? No?
That's the capital. This is our, and the name of the capital is Skopje.
Skopje.
So that's the name of the song.
Why was it so bad? You say it. I want to hear it.
The name of the song, Ova e naše Skopje.
Ova. Say it one more time. Ova e
naše Skopje.
There's a sambo in there somewhere.
Ova e
Skopje.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. No. Thank you.
Who
That's
is
I'm trying
community
to say.
Radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between
Something
people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You
right
can't
now.
See
Wait.
The people.
Here it is. I hear
There's
it
too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
Hi, everyone. It's Lily, the youth peer leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Joan E. Hunt of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. And establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
И да ме бутна доле, нека знаят кой се борел. Скопје е мой град, град твърд е моят корен. Yeah.
Нека судат, нека зборат, полно сърце чувам образ. Огнови во душа горат, одеке ме памтат. Ова е само наше Скопје, тук ни е све.
Good evening, my friends, from everywhere you are. Thank you kindly for joining us today. I am Kimberly Irwin, host of the Race Talks on WGXC 90.7 FM, awayfarm.org Enterprise, where every third Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And when one asks why, are we still talking about this race thing? I say,
recording in progress.
To combat racism, education is key and discussion a must. And now, let's start talking where
no topic is taboo.
Okay, maybe I should try that one more time. But anyway, that was guest talker Mr. Dadovsky. I'll share more about who he is later. And you know that voice? That was the voice of Garrett Roche of the Roche Solid Truth podcast and our guest talk and the producer. So what do we have in store for you today? Our theme is Fear Not Immigration, an American conversation carved out Canadian style. And I say carved very clearly because this is the season for carving pumpkins. And jack-o'-lanterns making some scary things. And we have a few scary things happening in our country at the moment. And it's such a great breath of fresh air to have this guest from Canada this month. And he's not just from Canada. He's actually a native from Macedonia, which is where the music you just heard originates from. And one of our segments is called Talk Term. And that's the talk term we're using is cultural adaptation. And we also will talk, we'll have a segment called Right Acts and talk more about Halloween holidays that we're experiencing here in the United States. There's Diwali that's taken place here already in the capital region of New York State. And we also have a positivity perspective because we do need an uplifting, upbeat message. And who better to provide that to us than the positivity producer himself, Mr. Garrett Roche. So we have all of that. So let's get started with the cultural adaptation talk term. And again, right after this, we'll be joined by our guest talker, Zivko Dadovsky. Okay, what is cultural adaptation? It is the process of adjusting to a new environment in which you're not yet comfortable in and realizing its norms, its values, and customs. And of course, one of those things, the most important part of communication in a new culture is language. And so when a new person comes to an environment, that language development is key. And we all know that language is a part of what makes us who we are and also can make it a little bit confusing when people don't exactly speak the way we are used to hearing certain words and sounds. The very word Diwali, in fact, it's from India and it has many different, well, two different spellings. You can see Diwali spelled with a W, D-I-W-A-L-I, or with a V, D-I-V-A-L-I, because of the pronunciation. And so just having in America that celebration as being normal and celebrated in many state capitals and certainly ours in New York State, that is an adaptation that we have of a certain person's, of this Indian culture. Now, I am African-American or black, as we would say, so I know about cultural misappropriation, and that's the absolute difference to cultural adaptation. So I wanted to ask you, Garrett, are you familiar with Bo Derek and the movie 10 back in the day? What year was 10 made, I wonder?
1979, the same year I was born, ironically.
Oh, okay. So, wow. Okay. So that's over 30 at least. You called yourself out, so I don't know about telling your age or anything like that, but.
Oh, I have no trouble with that. 46. Okay. 46 years ago.
So almost 50 years ago. Right now, you would think Bo Derek wearing her hairstyle and cornrows would be a non-conversation. But back then, it was all the scandal. Oh, my goodness. Black people, women specifically, we were not having it. How is this white woman with this long blonde hair twisting her hair up the way we do? Did she ask permission? I don't think so. And like I said, it was a big deal because we've never seen it. And at that time, Garrett, and I know our guest talker is here, so I'm like looking at him too here on the Zoom station. But it was misappropriation because there are very few African-American people in the movies at the time. This was before Oscar's So White, you know, all these different things. And so why not have a black woman doing, you know, running around in the beach and with her hair in cornrows? Why are we allowing having a white woman do that when there's no black people represented? But now it's so totally different, right? Now we have a lot of black people represented. We have black characters not just playing bad characters or characters that die in the first scene. You know?
Absolutely.
We are everywhere now, and so we would not obviously consider a hairstyle like that being misappropriate. And of course, like the music we just played coming from Macedonia, it's hip hop and rap music. And of course, that's not misappropriation. That is definitely an adaptation because it's in their language, right? And there is a name in singers that we will mention, but I'm going to have our guest talker speak about that very soon. But I'm going to appropriate this time right now because I have a friend. Her name is Caroline Anyadike, and she is an American, but her heritage is Nigerian. And she has been on the show. She's actually been a guest talker here. And she's my bestie. And it's her birthday today, Garrett. So I just want to shout out happy birthday to Caroline Anyadike, a Nigerian-American. And I think we should have her back on the show to have a conversation about exactly cultural adaptation as she sees it here in the United States.
Let's make it happen, part two.
Yeah, because
happy birthday.
Well, I'm not going to sing it. Because, you know, we are in Hudson, the Acre, Catskill, Hudson area, and we have in Hudson a whole population of people who have, we're culturally adapting to with their religion, you know, and they're from, you're texting something right now. Are you looking for, you're looking at what the name is or?
No, a good friend of mine named Rob, who may be calling in later on when we give the call-in number.
Oh,
I
okay.
just wanted to check because we have a new soundboard here at WGXC, and this is the first time Kimberly and I are on air using it, and I thought I'd check in with one of my greatest friends in Hudson, Rob Gellis, to see how we sound. And he said we sound fine on his phone.
Well, excellent.
Make sure.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that because I totally skipped the fact that we are doing call-in. So I'm glad you brought that up because right after we speak with our guests, we will have call-ins. So I'm just going to end it right there. I did think, I just wanted to mention that the population that I'm talking about in Hudson area are the people who are Indian, from the Indian diaspora, so they may be very understanding and culturally aware of obviously Diwali, and
that's
our Bangladeshi population. So shout out to our Bangladeshi population from that area too. Okay,
Ooh-wee.
So where are we now? We are at the main. For me, the main thing. It's our guest talker, Zivko Dadovsky. He is the CEO of Dunmaker and the host of the Dunmaker podcast. It's a platform where he's interviewed countless entrepreneurs and innovators, including your very own moi, Kimberly Irwin, about what it takes to overcome obstacles and create lasting success in business. At 17, Zivko and his family took the bold leap of moving to Canada from Macedonia, first landing in Toronto before planting roots in a smaller city nearby. That journey of starting over in a new country, filled with both challenges and triumphs, shaped his perspective on identity, belonging, and the immigrant experience. A graduate in radio broadcasting, Zivko spent years as a technical producer before exploring the digital world, designing websites, and ultimately launching Dunmaker in 2018. Today, his platform is all about amplifying voices, sharing stories, and sparking inspiration for anyone daring to choose big ideas. And so he knows me very well because that's me. And he's definitely inspired me from having met him and been on his platform even. So here on Race Talks is where I'm asking Zivko to bring his firsthand experience as an immigrant to the conversation to reflect on the highs, the lows, and the in-betweens, lessons he's learned from building a life in Canada, and interesting stories of cultural adaptation. We may even get a peek into family life with his wife, Maria, and their two lively children, Amelia, 7, and David, 5, sharing surprises about Canadian traditions and everyday life north of the border. Certainly, he will provide highlights that we Americans, and perhaps even our international listeners, are curious about. Immigration north of our border, immigration is key in our lives right now. We just had an event over the weekend where we talked to our politicians. So we may get into all of that. But right now, I'm opening the floor up to Zivko Dadovsky. Welcome, Zivko.
Thank you for that fantastic intro, Kimberly.
Well, share with us why you think this would be a great time for you being on Race Talks, and a little bit about, you know, your life and your experience immigrating to Canada, whatever you'd like to share right now.
Well, so we moved 2006 to Canada, to Toronto, and it was a very different world. I remember when we landed at Pearson Airport, I saw people from different races. In Macedon, you don't have a lot of racial diversity. You would have different ethnicities, but not really racial diversity. So I've never seen a person wearing a turban. That was the first time I saw it in Canada. I've never seen someone in traditional Nigerian clothing or a Jamaican with dreadlocks. Those things, like in real life, I remember those images at Pearson Airport, because you just, in a small square footage, you see so many different people from all different walks of life. Stuff that you only kind of saw on TV and music videos. So because I was 17, it wasn't easy. Because as a teenager, you know, you're going to a new school. It was the summer, so I needed to wait a little bit until we started going to school. I didn't adapt at all. I didn't like anything. Everything was new, and I didn't like it because it was new. There was nothing bad. Just everything was different. It was not the way that I knew things. Luckily, English was fine. So I was learning English since grade four, so it wasn't an obstacle at all. But I remember it was difficult to crack jokes. I really like to be funny, so I couldn't crack jokes. I needed time to kind of pick up on all these things that were funny and the way that you say it. And because I like stand-up comedy, so it took me a little bit of time to start making friends and get to know people, and slowly but surely started to adapting. And I remember once my parents said, hey, look, the Toronto is fantastic, but it's a really busy city, like really busy. If you need to do anything, it's like, I don't know, New York, like, is five times probably more busy and bigger, but still, that all of that, like the way that we used to live, I would say in Toronto was way too fast, like way too fast. So they decided we should move to Oakville. Oakville is like, I would say like 20 miles away from Toronto. And that, to me, felt like going from Toronto to Oakville, that felt like a ghost town. And I called it a ghost town because I was starting to adapt to that life, to, you know, going to these like massive malls, working. I started doing part-time jobs. So it was really interesting. Things were starting like developing. So when we moved to Oakville, I was like, this is like a ghost town. If I don't have a car, there's not a lot of stuff that I can do. Luckily, this is the time when I signed up for to go to college, to go for radio broadcasting. I always liked that entertaining factor. That's why I went for radio broadcasting. So it was really easy and fast to, you know, do a lot of fun stuff. I got a car, so I started driving around. College was fantastic. Radio broadcasting, I did it that for 3 years. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. And I think while I was doing radio broadcasting, these are the things that I noticed really how truly Canadians are really nice. So my pronunciation was horrible. But the sports guy, Rick Zamperin, he was like, look, there's nothing bad I want to tell you. I'm pronouncing all kinds of athletes' names from all across the world. You pronounce teams that you've never even kind of saw 5 minutes before you read this stuff. So I'm just showing you how you can start enunciating things better, because that's all we do. We're on air. We got to practice. And that was really helpful because it came from that place of, I'm pronouncing weird names all day long, man. Believe me, I've been doing it for years. You can practice and take it from that place. And I was like, this is really nice. That kind of attitude to really be helpful and supportive, because you do want to get better at, you know, announcing, pronouncing. This is what you will do all day long. So after radio, I was there for 3.5 years. Then the radio station and that cluster got acquired by a bigger TV station conglomerate. And that's when I was like, you know what? It was really fun. It was probably like the most fun I've had in my life. But radio broadcasting, I noticed the trends. The Google ads and pay-per-click and Facebook ads were not really a big thing, but it was Google ads. They were starting to carve out that marketing budget that businesses had. So that's when I started to do more digital stuff. And this is when I was like, okay, you can start your own entrepreneurial journey and just be really, really good at it. And people will give you a chance, and you can succeed if you are really You know, if you really try, not just to kind of look for like a quick buck, but really try to change your career. So I'm going from radio, now I'm switching to digital. So that was really interesting when you start to work with small businesses, and now you start to see a different perspective. Before, you would work like at a part-time job, and you have these assumptions that the business is just like, you know, doesn't respect the employees or just like making money hand over fist. And then when you start working with the business, they're telling you, this is how much I have for the budget. This is what I have for payroll. I don't know. I'm not paying myself. I'm covering payroll because that's really important. Then you start to notice the other side of how you should run a business and what are really small businesses are doing. And then you start to understand there is a person behind it. It's not just the business. It's a business owner that's trying to support his family. So did that for probably like 7-8 years. I always kind of had it on the side because I wasn't super confident that I can do it as a business. I always had it like as a side gig on the weekends and after work. So the more that I did sales and the more that I did the side projects, I was like, that's what I really, really want to do. Like, I really want to have my own business and work with small to medium sized businesses, not really massive corporations. It's more someone that, you know, you can talk, you can get to know, and you learn a lot more because it's not just a PLAS system. You're trying to understand what is working here for this industry, what is working for that person, and then you can start to kind of shape and mold your processes and change them as the more you do them. I did that for a couple of more years until the pandemic happened, and the pandemic, I would say that's when it was clear that I should start Dunmaker. I had it like in the works. It was kind of there, but after the pandemic, I was like, I definitely need to do this because at that point, I was working for a company that did private school uniforms. So we were a private school uniform supplier. I was the director of national sales and marketing, and schools got shut down. So I was like, how many times I can go back and forth, work with all kinds of businesses? Why can't I just like do my own thing? Because I'm pretty good at it for now. It's been like many years. So I think I was thankful that my wife had that entrepreneurial spirit. She had her own boutique back in Macedonia, so she was like, look, you can start, like, it's fine, like, what's the worst that will happen? Like, we're fine, everything will be okay. So I was like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry, you can see me, so I was gonna wait for you to finish, but you mentioned your wife, so I think we have to stop and back up because your journey went from 17 to marriage. So I want to break up your journey a little bit because we have some time to speak to you, so I didn't want to like cut you off. And I think that might be the best thing to find out. You know, you mentioned your wife is from Macedonia, or right?
That's right. So we were high school sweethearts, okay. But because when I met her, I was already my parents were already in the process of immigrating. Like, we knew that we had a deadline. It was April 1st, 2026. So I knew the deadline, but the process is long. At least at that point, it was longer. So it was like around 3 to 4 years that. We were doing the paperwork, talking with the immigration lawyer from Canada. Her name was Renee. She was from Quebec. And
you said it was April. Say that one more time.
May 1st, 2026 is when we knew that is the day that we have to enter in Canada.
2026?
2006.
Okay, thank you. All right. You said that, and I'm like, did I hear it wrong? I just want to make sure from the listeners that they're, because that might be their question too. Okay, so it was in 2006. Okay.
That's right. So we knew that by that point, you have to make the entry so that the visa becomes valid. So when I met my wife in high school, she already knew that I was in this process of moving to Canada, but no one really like took it seriously. We're teenagers, right? So when the day came, I was like, you know, it definitely is happening. So it was a sad day because we had to part ways. And when I moved, that also made it even more difficult because I still loved my girlfriend at that time. And I didn't want to do new things in Canada. Like, I'm changing my life completely. This doesn't look or feel better. I felt that life was a lot better. So I was very rebellious at that age, at 17, 18. But we tried the long-distance relationship. It was really difficult. Like, what is your choice at 17, 18 to get married and start a spousal visa process at 18? Mm-hmm. You're not – I wasn't mature enough. Let's just put it in that way.
What about your school years? Because you said you came here at 17, but were you out of school? Was it your senior year there? Or what did that look like?
So I was grade 11. And when I went in Canada for high school, they said, look, you should go to grade 12 if we're looking at your age, because you're going towards 18. But I don't think you will adapt fast enough. so that you understand the difference between universities, colleges, apprenticeships, all of your options. So they put me back 1 year, grade 11 again. So when I came here, May, I waited June, July, August, September, school year starts. And that's when I went to grade 11 high school at George's Henry Academy, Toronto.
And it was in English.
Yes.
You know, I know, like, it's at Toronto. So Toronto is in the English-speaking part of Canada. So, you know, they have two national languages, correct? All right. So your English, because you're speaking really fast here, so was totally great. Like you said, you studied English since fourth grade or 4 years of age?
Fourth grade.
Since fourth grade. Okay. And so you get here. Language isn't a real problem, but you did mention some of the other things that were a problem. You kind of went over it real quick, so I kind of wanted to back up, because then you're bringing your wife over, and then she has to go through it. What are some of the specific things that, you know, you said, if it wasn't school itself, what was it? I mean, it was language a little bit, because you like to be funny, and you can be funny. Was that you wanted to be the class clown in the classroom, or you wanted to have your own stand-up comedian show? What was that like?
So when I did the test, they put me in a class. At that point, it was called English as a Second Language, ESL. So you go in a class that is ESL, and it helps you speed up. So by grade 12, I was already in regular English class. But in the first year, I was English ESL. So you're basically with kids. They're immigrants like you. Year one, year two, brand new in Canada. It wasn't like simple stuff. I remember like integers. When I heard integers, I was like, what is an integer? Like, this is shocking stuff. And then it's like, okay, put a negative in front of the number. That's an integer. I never knew what that means. So it was words like that. Okay. But it was also
very
someone
technical. Math.
Correct.
That was a math term. So.
Yes. Or if someone makes a joke, or I remember some of the first slang words, like say less. I was like, there's nothing less that I can say. But they wanted to say, like, you've said enough.
Oh,
say
I love
less.
That.
So these were the things that it's a little awkward, because you kind of know the British English. In Europe, you're taught the British English. So it was those
ways. Oh, wait,
ways
Canadian
of
English just wasn't British English? See, we're asking you a lot of these questions, because I haven't interviewed a person from Canada. I don't remember. I don't recall. So,
For example, in Europe, they will tell you that it's called a flat, and in Canada is a condo. And I didn't know what's a condo, or I'm like condominium.
What about
apartment would be, apartment would be the one you own. Condo is the one that you rent, I believe.
Condo is the one you own. Apartment's the one you rent in American English. Okay.
Elevator, lift in Europe would be lift. And then here it's elevator. Small stuff like that luckily in Canada, it still goes by the metric system, so that was easy.
You don't want to come to the south of the border, which is the difference that I would love to talk more about. I'm just gonna throw in there though that your experience, did you feel like other people were experiencing the same thing, because you were in a class, you said, with other immigrants, people who were learning ESL, and you were already, and this was at first still in Toronto, correct? The school. So you're seeing people of all different ethnicities, different persuasions, all walks of life that you haven't seen before. What about these other people that are in your classroom? Are they having the same experience as you? Or are you feeling like you feel comfortable being an immigrant in Canada? Or did you think you were going to feel comfortable? What was your expectation versus your reality?
My expectations, really cool and fun place. That's what I envision. I envision a lot of mountains and snow 24/7, man. This will be like a fun experience. And when I moved, it wasn't like that, because you have to learn it. You have to adapt. There's a lot of differences. For example, the first kid that talked to me in school, he was from Iran. He's Persian. So he approached me to say, hey, are you from Iran as well? To him, I looked Persian. So I was like, no, I've never met a Persian person. Like, I don't think that country exists. Like, and they was like, no, it's Iran. Like, okay, cool. That's interesting. There were kids from Ukraine, Paul. There were kids that were from Bulgaria. There were kids from different places. And everyone is trying to say, you're trying to pull what it feels familiar and what is new. And you're trying to make sense of all those things. So it might be for you familiar after school to walk together and kind of chit chat. And they may be go to the mall and have lunch and then eventually go home. Someone will say, no, my parents do not allow me to go out with, for example, if someone is Muslim, like a Muslim girl. I remember the first project that I had to do with a girl that was Muslim. Like, no, you can't call me at home because it's just my parents will be really upset. We can do this project at school, no problem. I'm like, cool. I've never seen that before. So there were these things that you tried to learn, what felt familiar from back home and what is new and what you tried to adapt to. And I feel like for me, it was the good things were stacking really fast. People are really polite. Like, the teachers are really polite. The school system is really geared towards trying to help you. They know that you're trying to. Like, you really try to adapt. You're a kid. You're 70. You want to be here. Like, your parents brought you here. You don't want everything to be bad. But they really try to help in that sense.
And one other question I have. A lot of people that I meet, when they come to the United States, they have a certain expectation because of all of our films. You know, a lot of the mm-hmm. movies they've seen. And they get here, and that's what the confusion is. Did you have any expectations of, like, Canada based on films that you've seen or stories you've heard about Canada, and then when you got there, it was different from your expectation in that way? Or maybe the land mass or the weather. I don't know. I don't know. What's the weather like in Macedonia? Is it, you know, what's the climate?
So the difference was... I remember that I had this idea of what I now know is the Rocky Mountains, in essence. Vancouver was in my mind, what I thought of Toronto. Huge mountains, you're going to go snowboarding. Winter is long, there's a lot of snow. That's what I thought it was like most of the year. Macedonia has all four seasons, but everything in moderation. There's no really cold or really hot. So summer, the first summer, I was like, this is so humid. Because there's massive lakes and it's so hot because of the lakes, they're all around you. So it's so humid. So I was like shocked. Like, I thought it was going to be really cold. So that was the difference that from what I saw on TV and what I saw as reality when I moved to Canada in terms of like weather, for example. Culture wise, I would say what you see more on TV is US. By US, I mean what I saw was New York, LA. Because I did go to New York and I did go to LA. I was like, okay, this is what I've been seeing on movies. It's not really, I don't know how Utah looks like. I have no idea how Vegas would be outside of the strip, basically, like regular life. So what you kind of see on TV is more like New York, LA. And that's what you think it is. Like New York, when I went to New York, it's massive. It's humongous. That amount of people on those streets I've never seen in my life. But I thought that would be Toronto. And then you go to Toronto, like, okay, it's even smaller than Chicago, which, again, it's a big city, but it's not to that level that I saw on TV.
Oh, okay. So we can fast forward now. You brought your wife to the country, to Canada, yeah. to be with you. And you started your business, right, Dunmaker. And your children, how did you feel comfortable raising them in a what would be a foreign environment than what you were raised in? So now you're going to have children who might not be exactly Macedonian in a sense, right? How does that look for you and your wife?
So when my wife moved here, it was 2015. Like I said, I was 17 when we were together, but we tried the long-distance relationship. It was difficult. It wasn't working out. So we separated for a period of time, eventually started dating again and did the long-term relationship. But at this time, we're older. So 2015 is when she moves to Canada. When she moved to Canada, January, February 2015, we lived with my parents. So from the beginning, my wife saw a very different experience than the one that I had because I was like, look, I already have friends. I will already show you places, work-wise, programs. You want to get a bank account? I know these things. I remember the first day when I went to get a bank account, it was like, which bank do I go? Like, it's just, yeah, it's funny. So
wait, you just said it's funny. Why is that? Just one bank? It's the national bank in Macedonia? And where exactly is Macedonia for our listeners? I don't want to get it wrong. I know it's Europe, but what are the major places?
Macedonia is in the Balkan region of Europe, which is north of Greece, south of Serbia. Bulgaria and Albania are between. Okay. So around that area. what was the difference? So I remember we went to the bank, and my dad was like, look, you're going to ask some questions. I was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, you're going to ask these questions to make sure we choose the right one. The first one went was TD, Toronto Dominion Bank. One of the questions was, what happens to our funds if the bank closes? And the lady had this, like, deer in the headlights. Like, that is impossible to happen. But that has happened in Macedonia. So for my dad, that was a normal question. Like, what happens if the bank shuts down or something wrong happens? And what happens to our funds and our money? So I remember that was funny because she was like, I've never had that question. It's impossible for TD to shut down.
Right. We had the stock market crash of the 20s, which is why everything says federally, everybody's money is federally insured up until, I think it's $100,000? No, it's got to be more than that.
Well, I believe it's most likely more than that, but that's a great question.
But it does state it everywhere you go. But I grew up seeing that, so for me, it would be laughable too. But if you have someone who, you know, still alive that remembers the 20s or 1930s or the 40s before those laws came into effect, that would be a question to ask. So, yeah. Oh, how cool to know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we decided to start having a family, we were talking with my wife and I was like, look, my name, it's pronounced in all kinds of different ways. So that was the first starting point. I'm like, what do we name our kids? I'm like, make their life easy. My cousin, she was like, look, I, out of respect for our families, I hyphenated my last name. I can tell you, hyphenating the last name, it is painful when I need to spell it to the bank or to anyone over the phone. So save yourself the trouble. It will be a simpler. Then it was, what do we go with names? I was like, I want to make the life easy. So they have the middle names of my parents. So Emilia, middle name is Lena, like my mom, and David is Alexander, like my dad. So I was like, okay, we'll do that. And first name Emilia, for my daughter, we said Emilia because it's international. Also, it is very typical for Macedonia. And David, I would say it's also kind of typical for there, but it's also normal for...
it's biblical, so...
Yes, it is biblical. And when we were planning on the next steps, like school and education, those things, in Canada, we have a couple of options. So you have public school, you have a Catholic school, you also have French immersion, and you also have French Catholic. So when I was in high school, all of my friends that went, this was my experience. So some people will be upset with me, but my experience, all my friends that went to the Catholic school, higher grades, better in university. They just said it was more strict. The curriculum was stronger. So I took everyone that I knew in my life. I'm like, it's true. That guy, Catholic school, Catholic school, Catholic school. So when it was time for our kids, I was like, look, the curriculum is better from what I've seen if you go with the Catholic school. And if you want French immersion, you could. French immersion, basically 80% of the classes are on French. It is really difficult if you don't speak French to send your kids to French immersion because you can't help with homework, you can't help with practice or anything like that. It is an option. Even if you are not speaking French at all, it is an option. We thought about it and I was like, I can't help them with anything after that. Like, it's very, very difficult to do French immersion. The benefit of knowing French is that you can get government positions and it's basically a requirement for a government position to be bilingual, most of them. So we chose the Catholic school, which was like right across the building that we live. Both kids went there and it started to be like, I was surprised because you start to kind of go back and forth between my education when I was a kid and what my kids are experiencing now in grade one, for example, and grade two with my daughter. And you start to notice that, you know, they take care of how the kids feel as opposed to being like a regime. What we were doing, it was like, okay, you're going to, today is spelling, tomorrow it's calculus, the next day. So it was really like, just do more reps, do drills, get better at writing, at math, at all these things. But here, my daughter will say, I really like the teacher, and I really like her because of XYZ. My son will say, I really like the teacher because XYZ. They have more interaction, there's more understanding, and if something doesn't go the right way, they will, you know, they'll call you, they'll text you, they'll tell you, hey, this is how the how your son is feeling or how your daughter is feeling. And sometimes it's nothing to do with school. It might be one kid said something and, you know, they're sad because something happened. How do you deal with all these things? And learning to navigate being a parent, basically.
So let me make sure I understand. Macedonia, was that a little bit under the communist system at one point?
It was until 1991.
So a lot of the didactic, because, you know, as you're talking about education, the academics, it's you were under the more, I don't know what to say, repressive type of academic regime, but it was, this is how it's going to be, and you do it or you fail? Is it, or, you know, is that what you're saying, the difference is?
So failure was very real. It was more on the side of, you have one job. So when I was a kid, my teacher told me, you have one job. Your job is to be a student. You have nothing else to worry about. You have just one job. You just need to be a student. Practice, learn, remember things. And it was just repetitions and repetitions. We learned stuff that I feel like I've learned stuff that I can practically apply, because it's just theoretical. It's not really something practical that can apply. When I see my daughter doing math, you can start to see that they're doing patterns, or they will tell you something related to not really business or finances, but it will be related to, if you have $20 and you take away 3.99 cents, start to understand fractions of cents. And those were more practical stuff that I see my kids are learning today.
Okay. I think, did we mention the phone?
We haven't mentioned it on air yet, but some.
So what we want to do right now
peeps
is.
Peeps of mine are privy to the number.
We want to take a minute. We have a couple of questions still, or things that we want to go over. So I want you to, we're still looking at your podcast we want to speak about, and how you amplify the voices of business owners. And of course, the Canadian lens of immigration as seen maybe through, not through Americans' eyes, but what's the difference? What we want to talk about that. But we want to give now Garrett an opportunity to share with people what the phone number is to call in. And when you call in, you can call in and ask Zivko, our guest talker, something. He won't mind maybe answering it, depends on what you ask. And in doing so, and just maybe make a statement or two that has something to do with our theme of the show. Okay, Garrett?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kimberly. Call in number if you'd like to weigh in. And as I say, build the bridge of positivity. Let's join hands here. The call-in number is area code 518-622-2598. Again, that's area code 518-622-2598.
Okay, so as you start calling in, we'll try to take your call. Of course, we'll have some time to also.
Oh, and they want to press option 3, please, when they call as well. And if you've tried calling previously, you might be privy to that, the option 3. And anyone who tried to call a little earlier, please understand the phone lines. We've opened them up right now. So if you did try. Oh, my goodness, we have one already. Just one moment,
okay,
please.
So
everyone,
we'll have them wait while I talk maybe a little bit about Right Acts.
Just another moment, please, caller. Thank you, and then we'll take you.
Okay, so while he's getting that caller prepared to speak, I'm going to share with you a little bit about Diwali. That's the Right Acts for today. We want people to know that a Right Act. You cut me off. I want you to know that Right Acts. Hello? Hello, just testing to see if we can have our caller wait while I speak. So Diwali is known as the Festival of Lights, and it's celebrated by millions around the world as a reminder that light always triumphs over darkness, knowledge over ignorance, and hope over despair. So it originates in India, and it's rooted in Hindu, Sikh, and Jain and Buddhist traditions. Diwali is marked by the lighting of lamps, sharing of sweets, and gathering of loved ones. It's a celebration of renewal and clarity, of seeing goodness even in difficult times. And that's why we are so glad that we had Diwali this week, because we have experienced some difficult times in the U.S., depending on maybe what party, side of the aisle you are on. But certainly We won't even talk about more of what's happening with immigrations and immigrants in the United States, and we'll do so after the caller. Okay, caller, I think you hung up. Okay, so we're trying very hard to get our callers back. They were supposed to hold.
Yes, please do call back. Apologies there. And there were two callers actually coming in at the same time. And I believe even with the new system, it's set up to take one caller at a time.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here's another call. One of the callers is calling back. Thank you so much. Let's get him on.
Which one do you... Just put him on. Cause... You have to push it. I don't know.
I'm just going to put him on.
Hello, caller. Can you hear us? Your name is?
Hello there. Yes, I can. This is John the Frable Parker.
John,
you are on the air. Thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, beautiful.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We have another caller. Can I ask who this is, please? WGXC, you're on the air.
Rob Gellis calling in.
Oh, my goodness. Look how popular we are, Kimberly.
Okay.
We've got two callers. Rob, if you'll excuse us, we have John on. He just came through. We put him on the air, and now you're on the air. So I believe we just have to switch back to John for a minute. We'll come right back to you, Rob.
Okay, John. So, John, you're on air. You're calling to make a comment or ask a question?
Oh, beautiful. Yes, Kimberly, it's always a pleasure to listen to your program. It's always mind expanding and uplifting. So thank you very much. I wanted to say I'm so thrilled that you have somebody from Macedonia on your program. And I'll tell you, you know, I do genealogy and I do DNA analysis. And my family always thought, you know, we were basically German and Swedish and, you know, Slovak. But my uncle, my maternal uncle, did a DNA test thinking it would come back, that he would have Y chromosome R1B, which is mainly what most Germans have. And they said, no, Mr. Frable, your haplogroup. Test, thinking it would come back, that he would have Y chromosome R1B, which is mainly what most Germans have. And they said, no, Mr. Freiburg, your haplogroup, thinking it would come back, that you would have Y chromosome R1B, which is mainly what most Germans have.
I think I'm here again.
Your haplogroup, thinking it would come back, that you would have Y chromosome R1B, which is mainly what most Germans
So, John, while you were speaking, I have to admit there were certain things towards the end that I didn't hear. I did understand that you were happy that we had a gentleman on from Macedonia, and you shared a story there, correct? Hello? We are definitely having gremlins.
Yeah, we are. And still learning the new soundboard a little bit. And we're just going to go back to Mr. Dadovsky here. And Rob Gellis, if you want to call back in, go for it. All right, here we go. All right. Oh, Mr. John Parker's calling back. John, I'm so sorry. You're back on the air. Learning the soundboard a little, plus gremlins. Kimberly understood some of what you said, that you were happy to be on the air, but kind of missed the part about the haplogroup and such. I don't know if Mr. Dadovsky can hear you or not, but he'll hear it on the archive. And hopefully maybe you and he can connect later on.
Beautiful. So should I stay on the line, or is that the part over now about being on the radio?
Well, we got Rob Gellis calling in, too. We want to go over to him, and we have to get Mr. Dadovsky on back on the air. I'm not sure if he can hear this call now or not, because there's
So we're just
going to
go on right now to Robert.
Yes.
Thank you, John, for calling. We'll talk soon. Mr. Gellis.
Yes. Kimberly.
Hi, you're on the air right now. Thank you for calling WGXC 90.7 FM. Would you like to have a question for our guest or make a statement?
Yes, I think a question for him. I was wondering what it was the biggest adjustment he had leaving Canada and coming to Hudson or to the U.S. for his family.
Okay, well, right now he's still living in Canada, so he hasn't come to us here.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was the maker, am I right?
Dunmaker, yes. So, can you hear us, Zivko? Did you hear that question? He's saying no.
Zivko, are you able to hear us?
Oh, me? Yes, I hear you. So he's still in Canada, but I was confused. I thought maybe he had moved here. Maybe I didn't hear it all.
He has a company called Dunmaker. We're not speaking right about the maker in the classy hotel and cafe and restaurant called The Maker in Hudson, New York. We're talking about Dunmaker. He helps entrepreneurs, and he has a podcast.
About them, but that would be great to hear about sometime.
Absolutely, Rob. Thanks a trillion, buddy.
Okay, bye now. Bye bye.
Now, Mr. DiValle, can you hear us?
Zipco,
can you hear us? You can go. And did you hear the callers call in? Zipco, can you hear us now?
Okay, so while we're trying to get our guests back on, we are going to talk about the two holidays that I made a mention of. So one of the holidays in the United States that we just had in October was called Indigenous Peoples Day. And I say one of the two holidays because it was actually a change from it being Columbus Day. And we have this president who decided he wanted to bring Columbus Day back to the United States. And in New York State, there, okay, we have zip code back. Great. So we do have a memorial to Columbus, Christopher Columbus, in New York City. And people were talking about taking that statue down or what it should be on. So, Zivko, I know you weren't, I don't know if you were able to hear a few of our guests. So, we'll just say they both really loved the fact that you came from Macedonia and you were able to talk about Canada and your children going to school. There really wasn't too many questions that we couldn't answer. So, you can listen to what they asked you in the archives. But right now, I'd like you to talk about Dunmaker since we're going to be running out of time in about 2 minutes. And before that, can you share what the name of the music was that you shared with us earlier during our opening?
Right. So the opener is it's a remake from an old song called Ova e samo naše Skopje, which means this is our Skopje, the capital of Macedonia. The original author is Vlado Janevski. And then the remake, the one you heard today, was with him and Dva Bona and Pajak, which are, I would say, more, they really embrace like hip hop culture and stuff like that, where it's not just about the music. It's about the way you dress. It's about expressing in a different way. So they would not say I'm a rapper, they would say I'm an artist. And I really like that kind of attitude where you're embracing more than just, you know, one form of expressing your art side. So the name of the song again, Ova je samo naše Skopje, which means like this is just our Skopje, the capital of Macedonia.
Well, I loved it. I love how it also sounded like it went into folk music a little bit. But yeah. Now, talk about your Dunmaker.
So Dunmaker, basically, I help people find clients that are interested in their services through LinkedIn. I do everything manual in the world of AI. I've been doing it for 5 years, and manual still works better. So we reach out to people on LinkedIn, connect them, book the calls, and help people, you know, close more deals and, you know, get clients through LinkedIn.
Now, it's on YouTube, so if you want more of Zipko Dadovsky and maybe a little bit of me, you'll find him and me next week, you said, in a couple of weeks, on the YouTube channel. Explain what that YouTube channel is.
Yes, the Dunmaker podcast, which basically I talk to people like you, Kimberly, and everybody that is a business owner that has a perspective of how to do things that, you know, it's not something that you will probably hear other places when it comes to how to small businesses, how to run marketing for small business, how to do all these things, because you hear a lot of noise. I don't think a lot of that is really applicable to us. So that's why I created it.
Awesome. Now, I think this is the creme de la creme. We saved the best for last, I guess. But we have immigrants here in the United States, and we've had problems with our administration figuring out which immigrants shouldn't be here and which should be here. What are they saying in Canada, if anything, about this? And what are your thoughts about how immigrants are treated in Canada, or, you know, your thoughts in general?
So in Canada, I would say
2 minutes.
There's a lot of.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of, you know, mixed messages, because you hear different things and you don't really know what is the right way of, or what is the right thing at the end of the day. I would say if someone follows the rules, like my family, we moved here, it was a 3 or 4 year process. you will contribute. You will contribute. You will grow. You will have kids. You will have family. My kids speak English. They speak Macedonian as well, but 90% of the day they speak English. They will support Team Canada when they play hockey and all these things. So you contribute to the society that you are, because it does help you in many different ways. And then, you know, generation one, two, three, you basically will become Canadian or American. If someone breaks the rules and doesn't follow the laws, if they're not helping at all or adding to the community or adding to the society or being